Hi, this is Angelica Perez-Litwin. I'm the founder of Latina Think Big. Thank you for joining us this evening at the Digital Office Hour. These are telementoring sessions that we hold every month and focusing on career, entrepreneurship, and of course, education. We are very excited today about this particular session, and me in particular, of course. I have as a guest India Perez Urbano. She happens to be my daughter. She's a senior in high school at Harvard College, and we're going to be talking really her from her perspective, but I also felt that I wanted to sort of add to the conversation as the parent that has been coaching her through her career journey in college. And so we're talking today about strategizing for your career success while you're in college. The reason why we decided to do this particular session is because it often happens that, and in particular with Latino students, that we're very much focused on sort of surviving college. We want to make sure that we graduate. We're sometimes working while we're also going to college. And so it's never, you know, strategizing and thinking ahead, you know, what's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 years or the next, what's that first job we're going to have. Strategizing and planning for that, sometimes it gets lost in terms of that planning. And so, you know, what we want to convey today through this conversation is the importance of planning ahead of time and being strategic about it. And the third part of that would be leveraging what your college experience and the resources in your university has to offer, and also outside of the university. So with all that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and introduce India more formally. India Perez Urbano is part of class of 2016 at Harvard College, where she studied sociology and global health and health policy under the pre-medical track. Throughout her college career, India has been committed to issues around HIV, hepatitis C, and addiction. She's a leading organizer of the Harvard Global Health and AIDS Coalition and is actively involved in the Harvard Kennedy School Government Institute of Politics. She authored a journal article in the Harvard Undergraduate Research Journal titled How the War on Drugs Continues to Fuel the Hepatitis C Epidemic in America. She's also a contributor of author of an activist guide for increasing access to hepatitis C treatment in low and middle income countries, published by Treatment Action Group. She also served as the HIV and TB intern for Medicine Sans Frontiers, which is Doctors Without Borders, in 2014. She currently is spearheading a survey initiative at AHOPE, or A-H-O-P-E, Boston Needle Exchange Program, to better understand injection practices and environment of active IV drug users, with the hopes to inform the introduction of syringe vending machine in America. She's expected to graduate in May of 2016 and will continue to pursue her medical degree in a few years. So without further ado, India, welcome. And I'm so glad that you're going to be sharing some of your experience with the Latina Simbe community.
Thank you for the introduction. Again, my name is India. And I've just been going through the job hunt process right now. And I just have a few tips from not just looking for postgraduate work, but also for looking for internships throughout my 4 years of college, and also from advice from my mentors and alumni and things like that. So I think so one of the biggest things that we here at Latinas Think Big really champion is the use of influential networks and really capitalizing on your connections and networking. And I think that has been the biggest thing that's helped me out in all of the internships that I've gotten throughout college, and even in the ones that in the opportunities that I have right now for postgraduate work, they have come through these connections that I've made, not from applying to these jobs. So it's either been from a connection that I know with somebody who either is internally involved in an organization that I want to work with, or can connect me to someone who's internally involved and can endorse me and champion me in that connection and in that introduction in a way that has shown my interest and my passion and also my skill set and has already vetted me beforehand. And I think in this aspect, it's the best way to kind of get into a space that you really want to work with. And so it's always important to just reach out to individuals who share the interest that you have, because if you talk to 3 people, each one of those people can connect you to 5 more people. So if you just imagine, like, that you have 15 people that you can talk to, and there's bound to be opportunities with any of those people that you talk to. And also, people love to hear that other people want to learn about their work. So, you know, don't be shy. Don't be afraid to email people and say, hi, my name is India. I'm really interested in this. And I'd love to learn more about your work. And so a second part of that, in terms of when you do come to people and want to get involved in their work, one piece of advice that I've gotten is, if you want a job, ask for advice. And if you want advice, ask for a job. And that is very true. If you go to someone and you say, hey, I want a job in this area, do you have any opportunities for me? That can come across not maybe in the way that you want to, and people might divert you in other directions. Usually they'll say, oh, well, I know somebody here and somebody here that you can connect to. But when I've spoken to people and I said, wow, this is something I'm super interested in, I love hearing about your work, opportunities in this field, do you have any advice for me? Do you have any words of wisdom? And more likely people are like, well, you know, I am looking for someone to help me out in this respect or in this regard. And, you know, right there and then they can tell that you're not being too pushy, but you're also really, you know, dedicated to the work. And another piece of advice that is in line with that is you have to find the right fit. And sometimes you have to be prepared that the people that you're meeting with might not be aligned with your interests. And it doesn't mean that you're not qualified for the position, but it just means that you're not a good fit for that position. Maybe you and that person who could be a potential mentor wouldn't be, you know, isn't a good match. And so that doesn't say anything less about you. It just means that that wasn't a right fit. And I think that that's a great kind of piece of self-care advice when you're going through the job hunt process, which can be really daunting and frustrating and discouraging. But, you know, if you really have to think about, I need to find a position that is the right fit for me. And people can tell if it isn't the right fit. People can tell when maybe this isn't something that you really want to do, but you're just looking at the opportunity. And it's okay to explore outside of your interests. That's also totally fine. But it comes across really well when it's something that you really enjoy. One thing that I found is not just showing how interested you are in something, but also learning how and practicing how to present your skills. And oftentimes I find myself feeling uncomfortable with presenting myself as someone with a certain skill set or someone who is, cheerleading myself and being like, I'm great for this position. That can be a little bit uncomfortable. And especially when these are things, but my experiences come from things that I enjoy doing, and it doesn't seem like work to me. It seems like something that I am passionate about. And you really have to learn how to translate that into a skill set. I work at a student exchange program, and there was a student who came in who wanted to, she came to the director and she said, oh, one of my skills is knitting, and I really want to put together a knitting program at the student exchange program here. And, you know, that's interesting because in my mind, I would have never thought to say, oh, knitting is a skill set of mine that I can bring to, you know, a space or to a job opportunity. But, you know, she obviously can see that as a skill set, and I think that was a good lesson to me of, you know, understanding that there's things that I do that I really enjoy, there's things that seem like, you know, everyday to me, but they also have value from the experiences that I have in the past and from the experiences that I carry them with me to my future experiences. So learning how to present that as a skill set is really important. And, you know, the last thing is I've been talking a lot about finding something that you're passionate about, and maybe that's a little bit difficult, but what I've found is if you do find something that you're interested in, you know, hone it and take advantage and try and, you know, run with it. Take it, run with it, and try to leave a legacy, because that's that's something that, you know, looks extremely impressive to other people, and it's something that you really, really are enjoying, and that's something that you want to invest your time in. If it's something that you like, you're going to invest your time in. So try and how to leave a legacy in that type of area, whether that's your community or if you're passionate about being Latina, if you're passionate about health, whatever that is, you know, you're the expert in that. And so try and find the deficit, try and find the problems that lie in those things, and, you know, try and find a solution. It can be as simple or as complicated as you want it to be. But when people see that you're taking action against something that is near and dear to your heart or near and dear to your identity, that right there, one, is very impressive and also builds a lot of skill set in terms of you taking that into a full-blown project and you leaving a legacy in that sort of space. Yeah, so those are, I guess, the four or five pieces of advice that I have.
Well, those. Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead, India.
Go ahead. No, I'm fine.
No, well, those points are really important. I just want to mention to those who are listening in, I did not present the format of the tele-mentoring session, but normally we have the mentor leading the session sort of discuss some takeaway right in the beginning of the session. So usually 5 to 7 minutes, and India can job doing that. There are a couple of things that I wanted to follow up just to continue a little bit the conversation. And, of course, I want to open it up also to everyone else who wants to share their thoughts. But I know you kind of focused more on, you know, you were talking first about job hunting, and, you know, especially because you're sort of in that phase right now. But I think that everything you talked about definitely applies to anything that students are doing in college right now, whether they are in their first year, at their first year or second year or juniors. You know, seeking opportunities and putting yourself out there is tremendously important. So one of the things that I kind of got from you was that you have to get out there. You have to show up. You mm-hmm. have to be constantly seeking things, seeking opportunities. If you sort of stay in your room or you just go to class, hoping that an opportunity is going to land in your lap, that's not going to happen. And so, you know, I think that we have to be very conscientious of the importance of actively, incredibly actively, looking for opportunities and connecting to networks. And it does not have to happen necessarily on campus. I think, India, for you, and again, this does not always apply to every student, but many of the connections that you have made in the important networks that have given you recommendations or further opportunities have happened outside of Harvard. And so there are a lot of things happening in the community that you may be very passionate about that you can actually engage while you're in college that can help position you further or sort of start aligning you with those potential networks and advisors and mentors and sponsors who will be there for you when you're a senior and you started to sort of look for work. But also they can just, throughout the entire process of your college experience, they might become important people that you can go to and seek for help or advice or, you know, just ask, is there something going on that I should be a part of? And so that was a really good point that you mentioned about getting out there and really just immersing yourself in different networks, whether it is in college or outside the university. The other thing that you mentioned that I think is so important is the legacy part. And for those who may not understand exactly what that means, but it's basically like, you know, trying to do a project in college while you're in college, whether it's in college or in the community, that is going to continue to be there after you have left. I think that, and again, it could be a small legacy project or it could be something very innovative and very big and different that, you know, but the point is that you're leaving a mark in those communities that you have been a part of. And also, in order for you to carry that legacy out, carried it out, you have to also exercise leadership. And so those things always look great for potential, you know, job opportunities in the future. Aside from the fact that you'll be practicing, like India said, those skill sets. So, coming up with solutions to real problems that maybe we can see because we are Latinos, we actually are, we're very sort of fortunate that we live in these dual sort of cultural experiences. So, and we have different perspectives. And so I think that gives us leverage in terms of understanding new problems and how to create new solutions. So leverage that, leverage it, and start building something, a program or a community. It could be a technology, whatever that is. Try to build on that and leverage that to have a competitive advantage when you are ready to either go for internships within while you're still in college, or for a fellowship, or even apply for a scholarship. Those kinds of activities will come in really handy and will be very, very valuable. So I just wanted to mention those two things, and I'll kind of stop talking now and give other people the opportunity to say a few words, especially those who are on the call, about any of the, if you want to add something to the conversation, please do so.
And I just wanted to add onto that about the legacy part is that I see a lot of students who major in majors that they feel like are going to get them jobs after they graduate. And I definitely see the merit in majoring in something that has utility in that sort of sense. But you often see that they're not enjoying their academic time. They're not enjoying their, you know, their college years because they're majoring in something that wasn't the right fit for them. And so I always say, you know, major in, I mean, not necessarily major, but make sure that your academic experience, which is the majority of your college experience, make sure that it's something that you enjoy and that you're learning something that is valuable to you and that you also get skills from. And I think that when you invest your time in creating a legacy or creating a project, those are real life experiences that you can draw upon when you have interviews. And from those experiences, you build skills and more knowledge than you would in any classroom. And so I think that, you know, having a project like that shows that you're passionate and you're dedicated to a cause and that you've taken action around it, is going to be seen as, it's going to be more valuable to you in searching for a job than it would be than majoring in something like economics would be or something like that, if that's not what you're into.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. I often hear a lot of students ask me or say to me, well, I can't go to that college because it doesn't have the major that I'm interested in. I want to go to medical school. I want to be, mm-hmm. If they want to go, I don't know, they want to go to law school. So they think they have to, if they want to go to law school, that they have to major in political science, for example. And that's the farthest thing from the truth, because the reality is that these graduate schools actually want to see students that are coming in with an array of experiences, and they also want to have a diverse community of students in law school that are going to bring in these different sort of experiences and talents. And so a law school, even medical school, would be very happy to have someone who has majored in fine arts, for example. Or someone that, you know, was majoring in science, although they wanted to go to law school. So don't get too caught up in what your major is and trying to align it with what you think you want to do in the future. I myself changed my major so many times. and it's okay to change until you sort of figure it out for yourself what it is that you want to do. But don't restrict yourself to these boring majors thinking that that's what you have to do. When you want to do something else that maybe you're more passionate about and you're afraid that you're not going to get into a graduate program, normally graduate programs have already their sort of requirements for you to get in. So as long as you do those requirements, you can major, whatever you want to major in. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about your career. I think that, like India said, the more that you do something you're passionate about, the more you're going to enjoy it. And you actually will even do better in terms of your grades. So it's really when we're sort of not well aligned with our major that things get pretty rough and boring, and you can start feeling frustrated around that. So that's another piece that I wanted to add on to. But are there anyone else in the call that wants to chime in and say a few, you know, share your thoughts about what we're talking about or even add to the conversation?
Hi, Angelica and India. This is Ashley from New York.
Hi, Ashley.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi. Okay. So in regards to passion, I myself and I have friends that have many passions, and we're not, I'm not exactly sure what to hone in on and, you know, how to choose what passion to pursue as a, you know, as a job, as a career. And I really wanted to know how you figured out, I know you're pre-med, how you figured out that HIV was something that you were really passionate about, and that's something that you have, you know, worked a lot with, and how exactly you just one day realized, you know, that's what you wanted to really work with.
Right, yeah. So I think that's great to have a million and a half passions. I can find myself being interested in a lot of different things, but I think that I have unconsciously and now more consciously have been able to combine my passions together. So I spent my whole life doing art, but I'm also very interested in social justice, and I'm interested in informing policy and advocacy, and I'm also interested in global health and community health. And so things that I've done before have been on the whim. I started my own art magazine that for social change, so that combined my art and my activism. And through that, it was inspired by global health activism, AIDS activism from the 90s. And so I was able in my magazine to talk about that as well. So I always try and find avenues that I can combine all of these things together. I love to travel as well, so I was able to find a study abroad program that allowed me to travel and study community health and study globalization, which includes policy and informing policy. And through that, study abroad program, I got to go to South Africa and learn about the AIDS activism movement that happened there. And, you know, maybe these things are all coincidence, but I think there's definitely ways that you can find to combine your passions. And if you do find a way that, you know, that's never been done before, that right there is very impressive, because right there you're being innovative. So, you know, try and see how your passions can align. I mean, my global health interests of HIV, addiction, and hepatitis C, those all go together. Like, you can't talk about one without talking about the other. So I'm grateful in that kind of regard that the work that I would be doing in the future can combine all of those things and all of those communities. And working with marginalized communities can allow me to also do some policy advocacy as well as a doctor, as a caretaker, working in global health systems as well. And so that's kind of how I navigated that. And in terms of finding that passion, I think it's just from dabbling in a lot of things. I didn't know I would be interested in global health or activism at all. I never thought of myself as an activist until I came to school and I was in a social justice program, pre-orientation program, and they kind of introduced me to this global health advocacy group on campus. And I just showed up one day, and the people there were super cool. And it's something that I would have never done before. But since I showed up and I exposed myself to something totally different, I fell in love with it, and that's kind of completely directed my path since then into global health, into advocacy, into HIV, into hepatitis C. I mean, before coming to college, I didn't even realize HIV was such an issue still today, and I realize that it is now. So, definitely try and get out of your comfort zone, because that might end up being your comfort zone. And if it isn't, then it's going to inform, you know, the things that you like to do.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Yeah, that's a great answer. I think that the theme continues to be that, especially, Ashley, I'm sort of trying to answer your question too, is that you have to get out. You have to get involved in different things that are happening around you. And, you know, even especially do something that you think you may not be interested at all in it, and that is just so out of, you know, just out of, like Kinga said, out of your comfort zone. You might be surprised how something that you've never sort of, a place you've never visited, or, you know, a community you've never been involved with, that might resonate with you for some odd reason or for some real good reason. So, again, it's like we all have to put ourselves out there. In every stage of our careers, but in particularly during your college years, which is really when you're starting to explore, you know, what it is that you want to do. The other thing that's going on at the same time is that you're trying to figure out who you are as a person and you know, as a young adult. And so there's a lot of exploring that's happening at so many different levels, and I think that it's such a great opportunity to be around people that are passionate about things. And so just go and visit. And just, if there's a club at school that you've never been to, you never thought you would want to go, just go for one meeting, spend 45 minutes and see what happens. But you have to put yourself out there and show up. So that's a good question, Ashley. Mm-hmm. Is there another person who has another question? Otherwise, we also have some questions that were submitted ahead of time, but I would love to hear from someone else. Okay, so let's take a question that was submitted ahead of time. The question is a bit general, but it says, what should recent college graduates be currently doing to ensure a successful career? And I'm not sure, Andy, if you can answer that question since you haven't graduated yet, but maybe you can share some of the things that you have been doing in the last few months to prepare yourself to get that first job.
Sure. So I think the biggest thing is probably mentorship and having someone who you can call a mentor who can connect you to people. I mean, this mentor should be involved in things that you're interested in. So hopefully they have a large network of people similar work as the work that you hope to pursue, and they can connect you to other people, or they can, you know, be there for you when you want to learn a certain skill set, or they can advise you in whatever it is that you want to pursue. So having a mentor, I feel like, is really important, and also I would say also trying to take advantage of all the resources that your university has. So, like I said, I did study abroad program, and so my study abroad experience has been one of the biggest things that I talk about when I'm interviewing, and also, you know, was a great experience, and I learned a lot in terms of social skills, personal skills, and how to connect with people who are completely different from you, speak a completely different language. Those are skills that you can apply everywhere in the workforce. And when you meet people, when you interview with people, all of those things, and those are good things that people love to hear about when you're interviewing. I also had to be in an environment that was completely unpredictable, completely different from mine. So it taught me to be, it taught me to be more adaptable, more flexible, more willing to lean into discomfort and things like that. You know, and those are all things that are good skills for a career. And so I always encourage people to try and find their study abroad. Try and take advantage of study abroad opportunities if you can. And so having a mentor, studying abroad opportunities, and also trying to do research. I think that's important. So there's a lot of skills that you learn from research as well, and research doesn't have to mean working behind a lab, or working, you know, doing wet science, like wet lab research or doing science research. The surveys that I do at the syringe exchange program that I work with, which is basically me sitting down one-on-one with clients at the syringe exchange program who have experience with addiction, and I just learn about their stories, that is research right there. It's important to kind of, like, try and make every opportunity or every program that you do a way that you can possibly make it into a research project. I can possibly turn into something like a publication. And just learning about how to do research or learning how to conduct an experiment or set up a study and interview skills that you learn from those things are also really important. So, again, it's not research doesn't have to be science. It can be, you know, very interpersonal. It can be very statistical, it can be very quantitative. You can look up all of the arrest reports in your community and do research around that and analyzing that data as well. And so, you know, whatever it is that if you're not comfortable with interviewing people and going up to people like that, you can do different research in that sort of aspect. But I think research in general, when people see that you have experience with doing research, it really shows that you can take a project from beginning to end. You are willing to learn different skill sets, whether that's data analysis or interviewing or how to write interviews. And also it's really good with practicing your writing skills. And all of these things are really important in any job that you get into. So that's kind of what I would say.
Yeah. I have a question too, but I'm going to just make sure that there's no one else who wants to ask a question in the call right now.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and ask my question. So, India, a lot of people may say, well, you know, you're at Harvard College. Harvard has a lot of resources. There's no denying that. And so how can other students who are not in a college environment where there's an abundance of resources and opportunities, for example, many companies coming to recruit and offering internships and fellowships or grants to travel, because Harvard does do that. What can other students who are not in a college environment that has that wide range of opportunities and resources, what can they be doing now, and how can they leverage other opportunities, either in college or outside? What would you suggest to them?
So a lot of the opportunities, and a lot of, like you said before, a lot of the opportunities, whether that's jobs I had term time while I was at school or over the summer, have been outside of Harvard. So as much as I've, tried to take advantage of Harvard opportunities, I've also tried to take advantage of the opportunities in my community and in Boston. And so that's one thing, is really looking outside of your university. I'm sure there's going to be an abundance of opportunities there. Another thing is there's also benefit in looking for the gap and looking for the deficit and trying to fill it in. And that also can be something that can be a legacy project. So if you feel like there's an initiative that you really want to take on, but there aren't enough resources or there aren't enough channels for you to kind of pursue that, then make it yourself. Go ahead and talk to people and try and work on that initiative yourself. And in that way, you can, learn more about the things that you want to do, but you can also shape it in the way that you feel is fit for people like you. I mean, a lot of the resources at Harvard may not be fit for someone who is a minority from a low-income background. They might not have exposure to even know that such resources exist like that. And so when you do realize that this is missing in your community, you can tailor it so that everyone has accessibility to it or something like that. I guess also work, it's also important to work within your community and work within what you know and your experience. If there aren't enough opportunities at school, there's also opportunities to work within your Hispanic community on campus or in whatever community that you identify with that you feel like, can give you the necessary resources there in terms of, moving forward and building the aspect. But again, I think I also said study abroad program is always helpful. And there's scholarships available. You have to look for them, but if your school doesn't cover it, there's definitely scholarships, especially if you're Hispanic. There's Latino and minority scholarships available and things like that, yeah.
I really like the idea that you proposed that if a student finds that their college is not providing the opportunities that they need or the resources that they would like to have, that perhaps sort of taking on that initiative itself and maybe speaking to the deans or student affairs or student life, or maybe just applying for a particular grant that allows for that opportunity to happen in college, that right there could be your legacy project. So I love that idea. And again, it's like this is, what we want to do, which is actually what we do as Latinos. We just want to be able to resolve, if we know something is not happening, we make it happen. So make it happen in your college. If you would like to have, Bain, which is a consulting company, one of the best ones in your college, come and recruit and that has never happened, well, make that your project. Meet with different people in university, get someone involved from Bain and say, how come you guys are not coming in to recruit and offer us internships? And so those are the kinds of things that any job is going to be very impressed by. And also the people in your schools, in your school who know you, your advisors, they're going to be they're going to love the fact that you, again, are leaving something behind that is not just benefiting you, but it's going to benefit other people, behind you. So I like that idea. The other thing I would suggest also, if your college doesn't have as many mentors available to you or other resources, is just reach out. Reach out to other professors or researchers or mentors in other universities, you'll be surprised how much people want to help young people. And I always say to India, like, take advantage that you're still a college student, because the next time you reach out for any kind of mentoring, people are going to say no. but whenever I have a student reach out to me and they say, look, I'm a college student, I'm a second-year student, I just want to take 20 minutes of your time, it's so hard for me to say no, because there's something special about this age, you know, this time frame of life and the fact that you all are in college. So just reach out and put yourself out there. But before you reach out, prepare for that. Just don't send a random email and make it too, you know, cryptic or vague. Just say, I've been reading about your work, I love what you're doing, and say why. Say what about their work inspires you or moves you or you find that it's aligned with what you want to do. And then say your piece and say, I'm interested in doing this, and this is what I bring to the table. One of the things that we didn't mention earlier, India, is the importance of having something that you bring to the table. And that's another thing that you're going to have to do as you prepare to go into the workforce, into the workplace. But, you know, it's a term used in entrepreneurship, but it's really competitive advantage. What's your competitive advantage, you know, in terms of, you know, the next student applying for that job? How are you different? What are you bringing to the table? How is your application, your job application, going to look different versus the next person whose resume and cover letter is being reviewed? And so you have to figure out for yourself, how am I going to develop my competitive advantage? That one thing in my resume that people are going to look, say, she did that. Well, that's interesting. And they're going to remember you by that, because it's not only interesting, but it's also valuable and impactful. And so, and normally things like legacy work, launching a nonprofit while you're in college, or a social venture, or studying abroad, or doing a program in another country, studying a year, taking a year off to do something else, all those things set you apart from the competition. So, you know, work on that. That's one of the very important things that you can do, so that when you're applying, not only do you have that to talk about, but people are actually going to be, distinguishing your application from others based on those things that you have to bring. So that's that. Any questions?
And can I make,
sure.
I make one more point?
There's
a group of first generation students at Brown University who felt like there was a lack of resources for first generation students at the school. So they started a group for first gen at their school, and it ended up turning into this huge thing where now they have a national conference for Ivy League students who are first generation. And it was hosted at Harvard a few months ago. That's just another example. And what you can also think about is things like this, projects like this, where you take on themselves, they can also turn into your job after college. I know people who started their own projects in the community in Dorchester of Boston with, you know, working with youth, and that's been something they've done throughout their whole college career. And then after college, it turned into their job. You know, that organization made a position for them. If an organization loves you enough, they'll make a position for you, and they'll let you, you know, have full agency and authority in that position and what you're going to do, because they trust you and they've seen that you've been dedicated to that issue. And, you know, if you have resources in your college to kind of get some funding for, you know, fellowship funding to take on that initiative and kind of supplement your salary, those are ways where you can take your career even further and take that project even further.
India, I love that idea, or at least that statement that you mentioned, the fact that sometimes these projects that you're doing, these passion projects, can actually become your job. That's actually very crucial, especially now that we are in the sort of innovation economy. So if you look at Google, for example, every employee at Google has one day, not one day off, but they actually dedicate 20% of their time to their passion, to a passion project. And they allow that person to completely be creative with that. And so, for example, Eliana Murillo, who also is a graduate of Harvard, and she's been a champion of Latinas Think Big, her passion project was actually doing some work around Latinos that were working at Google and also reaching out to the Hispanic market. Well, her job after a year of doing that turned into, in other words, her current job is actually what she was doing that 20% of the time. That passion project. So right now she's the head of multicultural marketing at Google, and she's like 20-something, 26, 27 years old. So yes, I agree. I think that the possibilities that can happen when you cultivate a passion and you grow it and you find solutions to something that's missing, that needs to be resolved, that could be an entry point to a job. But not just that. I mean, maybe it doesn't turn into a job, but it could become a leadership project that allows you to transfer some of those leadership skills into your new job. So keep that in mind. I think that's a great point that you mentioned that, India. Okay. Any other thoughts or questions from those who are on the call? Okay, so I'm going to have one more question, and then we may have to wrap it up. So one of the questions submitted was, if you could define success, what would you define it as? This is what was submitted. What do you think minority students need in order to position themselves favorably for higher education and access to Ivy League level education? I guess this person is referring to maybe a high school student who may want to get into an Ivy League school, or perhaps I guess a college student who may want to go to an Ivy League graduate school. And when we say Ivy League, I'm also including other universities like Stanford, Berkeley, MIT, MIT, who are very good schools as well.
Okay, great. So how would I define success? I think I might have a unique definition of success. My friend did a speech at Harvard a few years ago when she graduated, and she called it Harvard Think Small. And there's this famous presentation that happens every year. It's called Harvard Thinks Big, kind of like Latinas Think Big. And she kind of talks about this idea that when you go to Harvard, success is defined as you becoming the next CEO or the next president or you changing the world and you doing massive like projects of you becoming this super mobile, whatever, big name person. And while there, those, you know, definitely my classmates will be going on to doing those things, and I will absolutely admire them and maybe, you know, maybe hopefully be sitting by their side. I do value the idea of thinking small and thinking within your community. And so making big change on a smaller level or on an individual level or on a community level, because I think that's important. In terms of me coming from a background where I came from, a family of immigrants, or I am Latina and I am Black, and realizing my privilege at coming to Harvard, I think I will consider myself successful if I, you know, go back to my community and take all of those opportunities that I have gotten and I have had the privilege to have, and all of those skill sets and all of those amazing people that I've met and all of this knowledge that I've had in my classrooms, and I was able to take it back to my community, because I definitely think that knowledge is power. And so bringing back that knowledge to those who don't have it or don't have access to that, to me, is successful enough, because you are going to open up more doors to people when you work on the more ground level. So that's kind of how I would define success, and that's kind of why I kind of choose to do the type of work that I do in working with marginalized communities and underserved communities. And in terms of being a high school student, I think there's somewhat a formula to getting into a good school, but you have to know it. And I think that's why it's so unfair, the college admissions process. There's some people who know it because they have the experience. I was grateful enough to come from a family who are very highly educated. Both of my parents are from Ivy League colleges, so they knew the formula. And they were able to give me access to ACT tutors and SAT tutors and all of this mentoring about how to position myself to get into a good school. Just from my experience, I was a student body president. I was actively involved in student government, and I was the editor of my newspaper, and I had some sort of passion, so I was into art, and I also did research in school, psychology and cognitive behavioral research that I did around self-portrait drawings of people diagnosed with schizophrenia. So that was kind of, you know, those are the things that when you come to Harvard and you ask people what they did in high school, those are kind of the main things they did research. They were student body president, and they were editor of their school newspaper. And they had some sort of passion, music, art, science, whatever that is. And so that's kind of something that put, you know, if you find something that puts you apart from everybody else, that's really important. But at the same time, schools like mine really value stories and people's individual experiences that set them apart from the norm. So if you have a very touching experience, a very touching story or a very moving story, then that is very valued in that admissions process. If you have some sort of challenges or whatever in high school that you had to kind of confront, and that's kind of the reason why you weren't able to focus as much in your academics, that is taken into consideration, and that is held really high up because those are kind of experiences that have made you the person you are today. And so I always say, if there's someone who, you know, is very driven and very passionate and deserves to be in a school like mine and shows all the right personal credentials and shows all the passion, but maybe their scores weren't as great or their grades were bad in the beginning and they ended up improving at the end, I always say, just share your story. You know, there's always a reason why that was happening. And if you explain yourself and you're honest, I think that's also valued in the admissions process. And also, there's also resources available sometimes for people that people don't know of. So, for example, Prep for Prep is a program for New York City students who are of low-income background and who maybe don't come from the best schools. And if you get into that program, you basically are set. A lot of people from Prep for Prep get into schools like mine, and they get into prep schools in high school or boarding schools that are completely paid for, and that really sets you up in terms of you get a whole network of mentors, you get free SAT tutoring and things like that. So try and, if this is for yourself or for your daughter or for your son, look for those type of opportunities. There's opportunities, for example, HEOC through Columbia, which my mother can talk about. Also, it's kind of one of those things that kind of levels the playing field for people who are of low income or of who are of color or who come from schools that aren't the greatest, and kind of levels the playing field for those individuals and getting into higher tier colleges like Columbia University, and can also pay for your tuition. So looking for those type of opportunities, if the resources that you have at your own school aren't the best, those can be really, really helpful.
Okay, I like what you said, India, and I want to sort of add to some of that conversation. I want to say before I go ahead and sort of give some of my advice in terms of students that want to get into sort of a high-tier school, I want to say this beforehand. I believe that most colleges are excellent colleges. There might be a few that are not that great, but you know, I don't want high school students to feel that they have to go to an Ivy League school, they have to go to MIT and Stanford. If they don't get into those schools, their whole life is destroyed. I hear that a lot, and I think it's important for students to be much more smarter about what kind of college experience they want to have. So you want to ask yourself, would I do best in a small college? Do I want to be in an urban setting? How much attention do I want from my teachers? What kind of resources do I want to see in those schools? What level of diversity interests me in these types of schools? And so I think that beyond that big label that we and the association we have around Ivy League schools, and of course, Ivy League schools do open doors, let's just be real, but that doesn't mean that another school could be actually a much better fit for a particular student. So having said that, if you want to get into an Ivy League school, top tier schools, there's a great book titled A is for Admissions, the letter A. A is for Admissions. And it's written by Dr. Michelle Hernandez. Not sure if she's Latina, but definitely that's her last name. And I will tell you that it's a very boring book, but it's actually one of the best books I ever read. It's very bland. But it's an excellent book talking about the sort of behind the scene of what happens at these Ivy League admissions committees. And they literally, she spells out the entire formula. There is a formula to getting into these schools. And if anybody says that's not true, don't believe them. there are things you have to do in college that are that they are sort of expected. You also have to
in high
do
school?
Extremely well. In high school, yes. I'm sorry, in high school. You also have to do very well in your ACT and SATs. Extremely well to get into those schools. And so reading up on that, I think, is going to be very important. Having someone to mentor you through that whole process, even beginning from ninth grade, I actually say eighth grade, that would be great in helping you strategize, just like we're talking about how to strategize to get into, you know, for your career now that you're in college. Also, in middle school, how to strategize so that, and in high school, so that you can get into a good college. So I think those kinds of books are really important. And definitely, again, having a mentor that can sort of walk you through the whole process for the next 4 years in high school. Another thing that India mentioned that I wanted to just sort of emphasize a little bit more is that there are some programs out there like HEOP, and it's actually it's an acronym for H-E-O-P, which stands for Higher Education Opportunities Program. And it's actually in New York, a state-funded program that promotes the entrance or an access of Latinos and African-American students to get into Ivy League schools and private schools that they may not be able to have access to. And so I'm actually a HEOP alumni. I got into Columbia College that way. My SATs were 1080. The average SAT at that time was most likely at Columbia, maybe around 1,400. But because I was applying under HEOP and I showed a lot of promise and I actually had done very well in high school and I had done also some extra sort of programs. I was going to college while I was in my senior year. So they could see that I was highly ambitious, talented, as many of us are, but that there were these things like the ACT or the SAT scores that perhaps they were not really capturing all of who I was as a student.
Mm-hmm.
And so those programs give you that opportunity to access those universities. They give you mentorship. They pay for your entire tuition, at least they did for me, and they give you tutors. And the HEA program just literally made my experience in college one of the most unforgettable experiences because I felt like I had a family there. You're also in a program in the summer with other students of color, so that already gives you that sort of head start when you're about to enter college. You can come in the summer before your first year. So there are programs like that. So you can always ask a particular college that you're looking to apply to if they have those kinds of programs. They're very, very good. And I will say, despite the fact that I did not meet the SAT criteria to enter Columbia University, I was one of the first people of color that actually got a PhD from my class. So that just goes to show you, and this is in comparison to other people, but it just goes to show you that sometimes all we need is to be in a particular space, and we will rise to the occasion and even rise above. So just grab all those opportunities, as many as you can. Seek opportunities. Go around like, you know, just hungry for figuring out what's out there and try to see if it works, if those opportunities are good for you. But, yeah, so this has been a wonderful conversation. I want to just, before we end the call, just want to say, just ask again if there's anyone on the call that has another question or just wants to add to what we've discussed. Okay, so India, I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with us and share your experience in college and some of your dreams and goals for your career. I myself, as your mom, I'm very impressed with everything you've done, and I am so glad that I'm so glad you're thinking about coming back to the community and doing the work that you want to do within the community that really needs you the most. So I'm very proud of what you've done. I want to thank everyone on the call. To learn more about our digital office hours, they happen every month. And you can find out when the next one is by going to latinasthinkbig.com/events. And also you can join the membership of Latinas Think Big by going to latinasthinkbig.com/membership. Thank you and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.